Blog Talk Radio.
Where is this to love? I don't get my book for him, Here we go.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, and my special co-host tonight. Well, not special co-host, he's on here all the time. We'll be with us shortly, my main man, Black Steel. if you want to give us a call, because, of course, we want to hear from you, you can break us off a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, because we want to hear from you. You can break us off a call, 646-929-2037. And, like always, if you're a little too shy to call, you can always email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. And I, of course, will read your email on the air so you can say what you want to say. But you'll be channeling Dick. Anyway. Dick@smoothdrama.com. That would be the email. Also, we have the chat room. We have the Blog Talk chat room. Or if you have the great fortune to watch me on Smooth Drama TV and see my face that's made for radio, you can chat in your questions. Chime in your questions, or chime in with your questions, and we will read your questions, comments, and concerns there also. And last but not least, because me and Black Steel want to stalk you, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, that's text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411, so that we can get our mutual stock on. You can find out when we got an event going and where we're going to be at. And, you know, in particular, if you want to know where Black Steel is, because Black Steel's not feeling the love, he hasn't been stalked correctly in his lifetime. He's looking to acquire some new stalkers. You know, you text Smooth Drama and I'll tell you where he is, where you can go get him. So, what's up, Black Steel?
Dick Hugger, what's up with you, man?
I'm all right, man. I'll just tell the people how they can catch up to you and stalk you. That's all.
Yeah, I heard that. Like, I don't have enough people creeping up, you know, creeping down my neighborhood and, you know, looking over my gate and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You need more. You need more than Barry.
Yeah, I need to carry around a 9mm pistol. So what's good with you, fam? What's going on? What's up, man?
Oh, man, were you unfortunate enough, like the rest of the country, aside for the people in Miami, to watch that demolition, LeBron going back to Cleveland?
You know, unfortunately, you know, because of corporate America, I was unable to watch
you
that, but you know, I'll always catch the highlights though.
They was waxing their ass by 32 when I went to my DVR, so you didn't miss nothing. And what was so sad about it? And Steve Kerr, Reggie Miller, they were talking about it. How, you know, these guys are like joking with LeBron. LeBron and them are up by 20-some points, and he's standing over there talking to the people on the bench, and they're talking to him. Now, you know, we homies, but I remember when we played ball, it was all hate. We wasn't on the same team. Yeah, look, I love you after the game, but during the game, you kiss my ass. I'm busting you. I had a joke.
Yeah, definitely, no doubt. Yeah, it's all every man for himself, you know, until the final buzzer, and then, you know, fun and games.
Yeah, I mean, but these dudes, they were laughing and joking on the bench. You know, Byron Scott was looking like, I come down there and drop kick all you bitches. I mean, I'm not joking. This is the biggest game of the year for Cleveland. I mean, because after that, there's no reason to have Cleveland on TV ever again. And if they're on TV, the ratings will be 0.00000.1.
Yeah, well, Cleveland didn't they beat Boston so far this year? So.
Yeah, they won their first game of the year. Early. Now the reality is setting in.
Yeah. We ain't no good.
Yeah. LeBron's like, yeah, I made the right damn choice. I mean, they're talking to him. They're joking during the game. This ain't after, it's during the game. I don't give a damn. I love everybody, but not during the game. I don't care.
No doubt.
I knock you down, whatever. I just had an issue with it, and I thought it was sad and pathetic, really. All that shit they talked, you know, and the team just laid down, and that's what he was talking about. They laid down tonight like they laid down last year.
Yeah, and my question was, you know, why do the Cleveland fans hate LeBron so much? You know, if any, it's more or less like he worked for a company and another company offered him a little bit more money and better perks. And so he basically said, I want the more money and the better perks. Ain't that what America's built on? Isn't it all about getting a job or getting educated so you can get a job so you can keep moving up the ladder? He just moved up the ladder. I understand he went about it in a bad way, but, you know, he just moved on to the next phase of his life.
Right. Well, that's how normal folks think. But see, abnormal folks don't think like that. They just think because the dude is rich, he should do what the fans feel is right.
Exactly.
Which is a pussy ass way, because they know if somebody offered them what, $1.50 more an hour, they out.
No doubt. I would be out.
Right. That's the whole point. We in it for the money. At least
he could have went about it in a better way to leave. He could have, you know, he could have even said, I resign with the Cleveland Cavaliers because I'm going to take a job with the Miami Heat. He could have did that.
Well, I'm going to say this, that he did it the right way. Because, look, the proceeds to his TV special went to the boys' club.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sorry, but I haven't seen anybody else. I mean, that's one of them issues nobody talks about, but I haven't seen anybody else who would put on something that would help kids. That should help kids. They raised a lot of money to help kids. He didn't get none of that money. All that money went to the boys' club to help children. Some of them people who was booing him and shit, helping they punk-ass kids at the boys' club.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not to call the kids punk. I'm just saying.
I feel you on that. And that's what it's all about. He made it to the top, and he's giving back to where he came from because that's where he started.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like you said, I don't see nobody else doing that. I don't see anybody else, you know, holding specials or you know, doing holiday drives, you know, to get money for underprivileged kids or kids that can't afford it.
Right. Because that's kind of where he came from. People forget that he's the son of a crack kid and a father who abandoned him and is suing to be in his life now that he's a multi. Kind of forget that part. And we gonna just move on from that. I got one other, the NCAA. I hate NCAA, in particular the college football part. At least college basketball is a tad bit more fair because they had the playoff and everybody got a quote unquote shot. College football, not the case. Case in point, Cam Newton. You know who Cam Newton is. And for those of you who don't know, Cam Newton, who is the quarterback, greatest player in college football right now. I mean, this dude is ridiculous. 6'5", 250, run like a deer, got cannon arm. I mean, this dude got everything. Well, you know, he's been going through that little scandal with his father was approaching schools to get money, like $180,000 to play at either Mississippi State, and then he mysteriously ends up at Auburn. Now, of course, Auburn's good. They find out and they rule that he was ineligible Tuesday. Then all of a sudden yesterday, they come back and say he's eligible. Why? They say he didn't know nothing about it, that his daddy was doing the listening. His daddy was wrong, but he was not wrong, and he didn't know anything about it, and it had no sway on him going to play for Auburn, da-da-da, da-da-da. Now, a conspiracy theorist like myself, who really and truly hates the BCS, which I call the bullshit college system, they have Auburn ranked number one, Oregon's number two. Auburn going into the SEC championship game this weekend without Cam Newton gets their ass smacked. And all of a sudden, number three, TCU, who does not belong to any of the big conferences, moves up to number two, and it kind of spoils the hogging, the monopoly that the big conferences have over the little conferences, which is kind of why I was rooting for Boise State till the field goal kicker fucked it up and did the whole Jeff Norwood from Buffalo Bills and missed the kick, so we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
So now he's eligible when he shouldn't be eligible, according to their rules.
Well, the thing is, go ahead, finish.
No, go ahead.
My thing is that everybody knows that the two best teams right now are Oregon and Auburn. And like you said, TCU, they don't really play. They play a bunch of teams that they know they can beat. They're not in a conference, so they don't have that conference championship game. Once they play their final game, they just sit at home and just wait for all the BCS pieces to fall in, and they'll get a Fiesta Bowl, or they'll get an Orange Bowl bid, or maybe a Sugar Bowl. Auburn, number one, they're playing a good South Carolina team, so they have to win this SEC championship game in order to make it to that game. And I think where you were going with this is the reason why he's eligible is so that they can win this game,
yeah,
so they can get to the big game.
Well, see, my thing is this, though. I hate the BCS because college football don't have a playoff. You vote because this team looks like it's the best team. I know. I mean, if we did that in college basketball, we wouldn't have March Madness. And every year, it'd be North Carolina, Duke,
Wisconsin, Ohio State.
Yeah. And that's who would be in the Final Four, and you don't need to play the rest of the games, right? And we know the NCAA tournament, every year, the majority of the teams that you pick as favorites, like Kansas,
yep,
last year, everybody had Kansas to win, got knocked out in the second round. That's
yep.
what I'm talking about. Let's have a playoff.
Exactly. And that's like that's like the best time of the year, man. You know, when the March Madness start and the NCAA tournament, you know, you're watching games all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday. And it's just like, and yeah, you got that. You can have a number 16 team that can go in there and, you know, they can play their hearts out and they can come up a winner.
Right.
And
college football, they don't have that.
Yeah, at least, well, they do have it in the subdivision, but, you know, in the upper divisions, they don't have it. And it's just like, and it's all based on this whole bowl game system that they came up with. Like, you know, the payouts for the bowls. If they said, okay, every team that goes to a bowl is only going to get $500,000, that's any bowl game, every team is going to get $500,000. I guarantee you they will say, you know what, we need a playoff system.
Well, that's the point. See, because the big conferences, they get millions of dollars. They don't get the $500,000. And what is baffling to me with this bowl system and the, you know, the Flash Animation Bowl, the Save 10 Bowl, the Snicker Bowl. I mean, who's watching that shit? I mean, I don't even turn on my TV. Like, I banned ESPN during that time because I know it's going to be a bowl game. I don't want to see none of them games. I don't care about Northwestern against Georgia Tech. It's a bowl game. It ain't no play. There is nothing to look. There's no thrill to it. To me, some people may disagree and say, well, the bowl games and the tradition, and you don't understand the tradition and these fans they get to see and everybody wins. Okay. I'll be curious to see the ratings on these damn bowls.
And the thing is, too, and it has nothing to do with, you know, it's all these presidents of these colleges and universities. They're the ones, because these bowl games generate this money, they're the ones that are, oh, yeah, we want a bowl game, you know, so they can put the team out there in front of the alumni and the boosters. And, you know, if Ohio State does good, they can go to the Fiesta Bowl, and, you know, we can take all of our boosters and our alumni out to Arizona in January, and, you know, we can have a big party, and we already know we're going to get between $6 and $10 million for the school. And what about the players? They're the ones that worked hard to get there. And, you know, they're the ones that generate all this money for the school, and they don't get anything from this.
Oh,
you know,
well, that's the hypocrisy part. I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the Cam Newton. I mean, they say that his daddy was wrong for trying to get $180,000. I'm like, hey, if my son was 6'5", 250 pounds, and y'all was all fighting over getting him to come to the school, and somebody was going to give me $200,000 just so that I could tell him to go play for that school, in a heartbeat.
No doubt. Same here.
In a heartbeat. I'm like, and? There you go. Well, that's a violation. You like the whole Reggie Bush thing? Yeah. But the NCAA can make all these billions of dollars off these athletes' backs. I mean, Reggie Bush sold how many jerseys for USC? Did they fine USC? No. They took the Heisman from Reggie Bush. And just like after Auburn, quote unquote, if they win this national championship, they'll come back and after the fact, they're going to put Auburn on probation. After
exactly.
You
strip
know,
them of all their games, and yeah, basically, yeah, they'll give them, you know.
Yeah, but they get to make all those millions of dollars. The conference and the school makes all this untold millions of dollars, and they're going on probation for a year, which will cost them nothing.
Yeah, basically,
they just don't get to play in the Meineke Car Bowl or some shit like that.
Exactly, and then if that be the case, here's the thing: if they do find that they are guilty, you know, that he is ineligible, the school should have to pay the money back because they should have never been in the bowl game anyways. They should have never got that money. So that, when they start saying, constantly. "Oh, the school, you guys need to give us these $10 million back," you know, it's going to be a whole different story. We could sit here and talk about the situation forever, but until they change it, until they actually say, "Look, we need a solid system here to determine who is the best," it ain't going to be nothing. It's just going to be more, you know, it's just going to be a void subject.
That's why I pay it no mind. And on that note, because I was looking for you, I was looking out for you. You know, we about to go into a song break here, and I think you know what it is. You want to tell the people what we about to do?
Yeah, we about to go into the Show and AG joint. It's the song is "Got Your Back" off the Goodfellas album, and here we go.
Goodfellas, another oldie but goodie. You know, and you know, it was funny You talking about that song. That was one of the next albums that I planned on converting over, so you just rushed me to it.
Yeah, and you know, I already converted it over. You know, I got it on the on the computer, got it on the iPod, and that was a good album. Came out in 95.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember that album because we kind of got it at the same time, and I remember we was going to play ball, and you was blasting it, and I had the tape in my car at the same time. I thought it was funny. So immediately when I hear the song, I always think about you because I always think about you rolling up to Muni with that song.
And you know the craziest thing about that is, like, we always had the same music. It was like, you know, it was never like you had something whack or I had something whack. We always had, like, all the hot stuff at that time.
Right. Well, I mean, the majority of the stuff, well, I won't say majority because it would be doing a disservice to say that everybody was hot back then because my posse on Broadway was out during that time. yeah, I mean, you know, love and hip hop, it's always mutual. We talked earlier about the TSA pat down. I read up on it. I did a little research. For those of you who don't know, there's a story circulating on the internet that a man ejaculated during the TSA pat down. supposedly, a man, Percy Cummings, that should be the way. Yeah, Percy Cummings, who is an interior designer from San Francisco, was patted down by security officer Sergio Armani. And he supposedly, according to this internet story, had multiple piercings on his manhood. So while Mr. Armani was checking out his piercings and pulling on his piercings, he supposedly ejaculated right there after he became aroused.
That leads me to believe that Sergio was a little suspect too.
but Sergio Armani, if I'm not mistaken, is like a clothing brand or a face brand or whatnot. So I'm gonna go with the whole it was false.
Yeah.
But it's still funny. That's the funny shit.
Whoever
thought about that. They had a real sense of humor.
But seriously, on a real note though, that whole TSA pat down thing is causing a lot of controversy these days. You know, do you think it's right? Do you think it's safe? You know, look how far we have come. You know, as a nation, where when you go to the airport, you get patted down. You know, are they going to pat down kids? You know, are men going to pat down women? You know.
But you get patted down if you refuse to go through the scanner. That's it. Go through the scanner. That's all. I've already talked about. Look, all these folks were screaming about terrorists. I mean, you know, I've been saying this shit forever in the day. You know, when you scream all this terror shit and then martial law is on at your door, don't complain and bitch about it. You played right into the hands in the first place. And quite honestly, I said it the past couple of weeks. Look, I don't want to get blowed up. You know, when I saw homie had the bomb in his draw, if they want to scan to make sure I don't get blowed up by the dude with the bomb and the doo-doo in his drawers, hey, I'm for it.
I heard that. Same here.
All that other, look, I'll go through the scanner. If somebody wants to stare at my naked picture in the scanner, whatever, hey, thumbs up, more power to you.
Yeah, hey,
but get you through your day. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I had to go through the scanner and, sir, can you take off your shoes and your belt and, you know, put all your stuff in the little tray and, like, yo, I've been there, man. Hey, as long as, hey, if that's what it's going to take for me to feel safe, then,
right.
Hey, y'all got to go through too, so we all going through it.
Right, and so these folks, it's like, they don't want to be patted down, they don't want to go through the scanner, so it's just going to be us? Nah, fuck that. No, you too. That's it. But we're going to get off of that. Something great happened. Something really great happened in Milwaukee, home of my homie's House of M. There was a 23-year-old Russian who was arrested by the FBI. This dude was supposedly the one who was guilty of putting forth a third of the world's computer spam out there.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, he had a network of infected computers which were generating an estimated 10 billion emails a day.
Damn.
They caught his ass. I'm like, now can you catch the other two-thirds of this motherfucker so I can stop getting them Viagra and all these other emails that I'm tired of getting?
The emails, hey, send me $500 over to London and put it in this bank account and I'll send you 10 grand, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, not even 10 grand. You see these stupid ass. It used to be, we used to talk about when we first started Smooth Drama. The first spam we got was from a guy named Peter James. And Peter James said, hey, give me your bank account and I got this 60 million that I need to split. So I will send you 30 million because I have to hide some of the money. So just give me your bank account and I will give you 30 million. And, you know, I didn't send him my bank. I sent him a fake one just to see if he would send me an email back, but I never got an email back.
You think you
so
would?
I'm pressing Peter James out. I haven't got, well, I wouldn't have got it anyway because I gave him a fake bank account. But, but the point is, I mean, these dudes, who falls for that shit? I mean, they only send it because somebody's dumb and greedy enough to think that somebody in what they call Africa is going to share $30 million with you. I mean, really, y'all see the commercials? See, I mean, you know that the continent is not doing that good. There's not a proliferation of millionaires on that continent that are from there. Obviously, they're corporations, but they live here.
Exactly.
I'm going to fuck it up, but I don't care. Oleg Nikolenko and the FBI and the Federal Trade Commission have been tracking this fucker since 2007, and they finally caught him.
And
yeah.
all the many emails, man, it took them that long to catch him?
Oh, yo, welcome to Smooth Drama. What's up, man?
What's going on with you?
I'm all right, man. What's going on with you?
I'm all right, man. You know who you're talking to right now, right?
Yeah, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to my main man, E-Eric.
Oh, most definitely. I hate to have to change subjects, but let's get back on this LeBron James Cleveland situation.
Okay. All right.
First off, why is the media making such a big deal about this man coming back there? Why does he have to have added security to come back to that arena just to play ball, do what he does for a living?
Well, we talked about it.
It's
because, you know, the folks in Cleveland, I mean, honestly, what else is there to do in Cleveland?
rob somebody, steal your stuff.
Okay, so nothing that ain't going down in Oakland, you know, but, I mean, my goodness.
Right.
It's just taken to an extreme. This whole ordeal, he came back, he served them up. Go back home. Free agency is something
that... Yeah, he's
that,
out 38, and they quit like this.
I'm just saying, free agency is something that in every sport it happens. Can't act like, okay, Jordan went to the Wizards after retirement, coming back. He went back to Chicago. Nothing but love. He could have easily came back to Chicago. A lot of these players do this, and it's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
And what if the Yankees can't re-sign Derek Jeter and he does end up somewhere like, say, Boston or Toronto or something like that? You know, when he goes back to New York, are the Yankee fans, are they going to be hating on him and be all upset and stuff like that?
You know what?
Hell
I think in his case, I don't think it's going to happen just because he served so long for the Yankees. And he wants to retire a Yankee. Is he asking for a lot of money? In my opinion, yeah, I do, you know, for the production that he does. But the problem is that nowadays everybody's going through the media to justify how much they should be getting paid. Everybody's looking at everybody else's salary, like T.O. T.O.'s talking about Donovan McNabb's contract without even actually knowing the details of his contract. See, when Donovan McNabb, because I really believe he's going to get cut after this season, not saying he's a bad quarterback or anything, but the fact is there's a clause in Donovan McNabb's contract that says, basically, if we cut you, we don't have to pay you.
Yeah, that's every NFL contract.
Well, pretty much.
Or there isn't a certain amount that you'll get once you get cut.
Right.
Well,
but
no, they give you a
trend
of bonus.
Everybody going through the media to get paid. And
well, I mean, you said T.O., though. T.O. is a hater. T.O. has always been a hater. He's got a show where he just runs around talking about how fly I am. I saw it once, and I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's a selfish bastard. I mean, they got to the Super Bowl without you, and you got the nerve to come out on that man after the fact? Tell me about damn T.O. Isn't he the one that sold out Jeff Garcia also?
Oh, let's not go there.
You remember what he did to Jeff Garcia?
Every quarterback that he's ever played for. He's
remember Witten and Tony Romo were having secret conversations about running plays without T.O.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, we are talking about somebody that, no. I mean, the fact that Marvin Lewis would actually have that man on the team and expect they're not going to win, everywhere he goes, they lose.
You're right.
It doesn't matter. He's a loser. But, I mean, it's like, look, Allen Iverson over there in Turkey. Suck him. Why? Why is he over in Turkey? Because he's a selfish ball player.
Never been a team player, ever.
Never.
Yeah.
He,
you know about
that. At the gym,
he's a phenomenal basketball player, but you have to have that it factor and be a part of your team if you want to establish a legacy in whatever sport that it is that you play to win championships. You have to have it. If you don't have it, you're all about yourself and your money. You'll find yourself playing in Turkey.
Well, I talked about this dude from Buffalo who blamed God for making him miss the shot, miss the ball. And see that's what you talking about going through the media or whatnot. I mean, he Twittered that. God was reading the Twitter, like, oh, what? Is Steve Johnson talking shit about me? I mean, come on.
Yeah. I lost all respect for him. I know he's a youngster in the league and everything. But that press conference interview, he's crying with that little earring on his cheek.
Yeah.
You're not a baller, dude. This was not the Super Bowl. You were playing a tough team. Okay, I'll give you that. But for you to be crying about this in a regular season game and you guys aren't going to the playoffs, please.
Right. I mean, they are 2-8, right?
Yeah. My team has nothing but receivers that drop the ball. I'm used to it, too. Get over it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the point. I know we got off track with the LeBron deal. And we talked about it earlier, but I mean, the whole LeBron issue, everybody wants to hate on LeBron. LeBron wins a few championships, everybody be loving LeBron. I mean, hell, Kobe did the whole non-man. Kobe broke all the man laws, and people love him now. So if Kobe can break man laws, LeBron can come back.
But look how long it took Kobe, though. And, you know, it was like, you know, he lost everything and he hit rock bottom before he bounced back. It took him literally 4 or 5 years to get, you know, back on top. So,
yeah, it took Pau Gasol, but we won't go there.
Wait a minute. Don't get on
Pau. Come on. Without Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant wins Nathan. If I'm not mistaken, Kobe Bryant in Game 7 is not that good. I remember the Phoenix Suns game when he sold out and didn't want to shoot the ball because Phil Jackson told him he needed to pass the ball more. People forget that. But,
and he was passing to Luke Walton, who won't take the shot.
But let's look at the lineup here. We had Kwame Brown. Come on. I mean, what is he supposed to do? Honestly.
Right.
And what championship team has
he
never
wanted? He thought that he was the be-all to end-all.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
what championship team has won a championship?
Once again. When Pau Gasol got there, they mysteriously went from that team that was getting their ass smacked in the first round to going to the NBA Finals.
Well, see, and the thing, too, is the year before Gasol got there, or was Gasol there that year that they played Boston and Boston just used them?
He was only there for half a season. Every year that Pau Gasol's been there, they have gone to the NBA Finals. Is it a mystery? No. Game 7, Kobe Bryant last year. Y'all saw him out there scrubbing.
Yeah.
Who saved the day? The MVP of the series. Shouldn't have been Kobe Bryant, but they gave it to his punk ass anyway.
Because he took the most shots. Come on now.
Right. Pau Gasol won that game. Not Kobe. He was 3 for 85 in that game? I'm just saying.
Hey, but he did this to Rock.
Don't lie.
That's it factor. That's the it factor right there.
Right.
He knew he was not shooting the ball well in game 7. Let me dish the rock to the hot man. And he got it to Pop. He got it to Ron Artest. Game over, series over.
So we're going on the record with you defending the dude who had
to do what?
You know what I'm talking about, that photo shoot he did last year. You still defending that man? That white, black and white, and
hey,
all white, the tight.
For L.A. Magazine.
Yeah.
My Lakers won the championship.
Yeah,
that's
they
all
won.
I'm saying.
Okay,
that's it.
They won. Yeah. We can't dispute that they won. More power to them.
I can't defend the man code as far as that dude is concerned. All I can do is focus on what he does on the court. That's why he's the best player in the game.
All right. Okay. On that note, we don't take the commercial break because I have been worn out by all this Kobe talking. It is killing me. Okay? I can't do all this Kobe. It drains all the energy out of me. So, thank you, Eric, for calling in. If you want to stick around, you're welcome to come back in the next segment. But right now, we're going to take a break, and we're going to go into this song by Twista featuring Raekwon, ironically called The Heat.
No ID, legendary tracks and production.
I'm a giant into astrological science, rap with phenomenal violence. I'm such an honorable tyrant. Verbal telekinesis is cutting fellas to pieces. Hell of a thesis, but holy, like you can tell us from Jesus, as good as pelican briefings. With the force of a sorcerer, never forking the pork. I'm orchestrating the orchestra, forfeit your formula. Cause I'm forming a thesaurus, a versus, thesaurus, a chorus. Some more when I smoke a forest. Superpowers like Morpheus, Orpheus, like the Oracle portable. MP3 players let you play what's recordable. Legendary like Hector, not scared to bury your rapper. I'm up for the beef, just a vegetarian actor. Identification is gon' have to go by me, cause long as I got no ID, victims ain't got no IV. Intravenously poetry, Pedialyte, I'ma give them. They said it was hot, so check the media, hot.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Big Hugger, my main man, Black Steel. And my homie, I ain't hollered at in a minute. E, what's happening?
What's going on with you?
All right, that was Twisted featuring Raekwon, The Heat. That's a hot-ass record. So
yeah, it is.
Kind of had to play that. I've never really been that big of a Twisted fan either, but that was...
Hey, he's coming.
I
didn't
have to touch on that one.
Definitely putting it down.
Yeah, no. Normally, you know, this is the segment where I talk about some really, 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 really serious shit. It's really, really serious late. Now I'm going to do that anyway. Well, first, y'all know that the United States lost. The United States lost the right to host the World Cup. Y'all heard about that?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, are you hurt by that? Is it like, wow, you're not going to have a chance to go to a World Cup game?
Oh, man. Let's keep it moving.
I was kind of disappointed by that too. Not more than I was disappointed in the fact that there are some people out of Boston who have a new weight loss therapy where they are giving themselves a daily injection of urine. You know, most folks, they try to get rid of theirs, but I guess in Boston, they like Juan Manuel Marquez. They want to, he drinks his own, but they get injected by, supposedly, it's the urine of pregnant women. So, basically, you got folks that's probably chasing around pregnant women and having them pee in the cup. They're saving it and they're injecting folks, and folks is paying folks for piss, basically.
Yo, they can have mine
pregnant
for free.
Hello.
Pregnant.
Hey, but that just goes to show you that, yo, there's some weird motherfuckers out there, period.
Yeah, I mean, one woman is like, yeah, I lost 43 pounds and more than 30 inches since June by getting injected with pee. Oh, I can't stop. The fact that somebody can approach you and say, you know what, you want to lose weight, I got some pee for you. You take an injection of pee every day, and boom, you're going to lose weight. I just would like to be there for the conversation.
You know what? If that doesn't motivate you to go to the gym, I don't know. God, I'm not drinking pee, and I'm not getting any type of pee injection.
What do you do? Go to the doctor to get a urine injection?
Yeah, pretty much. And they tell you, hey, it's pregnant women's piss. Now,
wow.
You know, it's just like we're all drinking spring water.
Yeah. Okay.
How like
to find these things out is the question. That's crazy.
Well, I'm stuck on the fact that one is piss. And folks take piss seriously. Like, I'm going to get injected with piss and that's going to save me. I'm looking at it like, is like they'll get my homie Charles's pee.
Well, you know, at some point somebody had to be the guinea pig for this experiment. I'm just wondering, how do
well,
you deal
we have
with
one. We know this because it's a national story. Cheryl Poloni, she put her name out there. She's like, yeah, physically I feel better. I feel light on my feet. And she says for her, the proof is in the pudding. Ever since she's been getting injected with piss, she has lost her hunger.
I wonder why.
I'm so blind. A lot of side effects to that I'm sure that we just don't know about.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, but I'm gonna take an educated guess that the Cheryl Poloni of the world are like the same people who are planning this 150th anniversary celebration of the American Civil War next year. I mean, the infatuation with a loss is amazing. And I'm going to guess that they probably, like, related in some way. You know, I can, you know, piss. And, hey, we lose weight just in time for the celebration where we can – we can go down into the deep south and we can celebrate the Confederacy again and again. And, I mean, and they got a whole bunch of festivities, even a mock swearing in of Jefferson Davis as the president of the Confederacy.
That's true.
And what do they do with the brothers? Come on, you can play slaves.
Yeah.
You can go work in the house.
Exactly. I mean, if you're in that city where they're doing that shit, I mean, are you comfortable?
It's gonna be an article in the paper. We need slaves to help us with our Confederate Day.
Yeah. I show up with the AK-47. this whole Confederacy deal, and they're gonna have a celebration. I don't know what else to say. Woo. But that's about our time here. I wanna thank my main man Black Steel for being the co-host. I want to thank my main man, Eric, for calling in and helping us laugh a little bit, even though you are a Raider fan and I don't understand it, but I guess I do. I'm a Saints fan.
You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. Hell, I don't understand it. I just do.
All right. I want to thank you, brothers, for coming on the show and laughing with me.
Thanks for having me on,
brother.
Yeah, all right, man. I'll be hollering at y'all.
Peace.
Whew. And on that note, Big Hugger Smooth Drama Confederacy Celebration. I'll see y'all there.
Dick Hugger as Slave Toby.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.